One of the things that married couples do is they set out on the journey to begin what is a seemingly unending work of building a house. How many of you have done that? You have built a house, or you've worked through building a house before. All right, I know all of the couples that need marital counseling right there. I've heard that that is a fun time as you select all kinds of things in relationship to the house. The scriptures here in Psalm 127 teach us that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I am not telling you that you labored in vain when you built your house. That's not what the Bible's saying here. But I am starting a series this morning on the home called Sure Foundations for the Home. It'll be a Sunday morning and a Sunday night series. So today's the first installment. Tonight will be the second installment. I'll preach on a family's life verse tonight in the evening service. And for the next 3 or 4 weeks on Sunday nights and Sunday mornings, I'll be dealing with this series, the Sure Foundations for the Home. Using the imagery of building a house, let's look at the important aspects that are needed. Without question, the absolute most important aspect of building is the foundation. Physically speaking, when you build a house, absolutely that's the most important part of the building. And spiritually speaking, it's no different. The foundation of a home is critical. Unless the Lord builds that foundation, unless He is that foundation, they labor in vain that build it. Jesus is the foundation upon which you can build a life, upon which you can build a business, on which you can build a career, but especially a home. I want to look at this morning just two simple truths: the futility of wrong foundations and the security of a right foundation. I'm speaking this morning on this subject, life's greatest foundation. Life's greatest foundation. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Both in Psalm 127 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, man's ideas about life's foundations are futile. In Psalm 127 verse 1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So man's ideas about building a foundation for a home, when I'm speaking of a home, I'm speaking of a marriage, I'm speaking of children, I'm speaking of a family. Unless the Lord builds that house, they labor in vain that build it. You build it on your foundations, and the Bible says all of those foundations will be in vain. They will be empty as it relates to your home. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says this, speaking of foundations, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Both of these passages communicate the same truth. You do it your way, you lay your foundations for your home, and they will not work. They will be in vain. But there is a foundation that you can lay. That foundation is already laid in the sense that Jesus has already died and was buried and rose again for the sins of the world. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7, if you will. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Jesus is speaking in the form of a parable in this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. And He compares two men, a wise man and a foolish man. In verse 24, He says this, therefore, whosoever, that includes me and that includes you, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. When Jesus closed out the Sermon on the Mount here, He focuses our attention on two men, each of who went to build a house. Brethren, we have a lot of homes represented here in our church. Well over 100 different homes are represented by the people that attend our church. That means that there are husbands and wives that are seeking to build homes. And a home is different than a house. A house two people can live in and not really be bonded together. They can live in a house and really not have a lot of relationship, but a home is built on relationships. A home is something that all of us are seeking to build. That's what we find in Matthew chapter 7. Two men that are seeking to build a home. That was the similarity between them. They were men that wanted to build a house. Their dreams were the same. Their longings were the same. Their desires were the same. What makes these two men alike is that their view of the future was on par. We want to build a house. You could relate it to building a family. You could say both men wanted to have a vibrant, dynamic, strong home. That love dominated, that service to God was important. Not only did these men have the same vision, they both had the same instruction. Because it says both of these men heard his words. That means that they could sit in church services together. That means that maybe both of them exposed themselves to the Word of God on a daily basis in reading the Scriptures. They heard the words of Christ. They both had the same classroom, so to speak, and the same instruction, and the same professor, and the professor was Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. They were both oriented to listening to truth. That was a part of their lives. Both men were committed to making themselves available to scriptural truth. There's a third comparison. They lived probably in the same neighborhood. At least they faced the same storms. The rain came upon the wise, and the rain came upon the foolish. This description of the storm is precisely the same in both cases. It talks about the winds blowing. It talks about the rains coming. The description of the storm is similar. But they were two different characters. One was considered a wise man, and one was considered a foolish man. In fact, the word foolish in the Scripture is our word moron. You ever call somebody a moron? Here the Bible, Jesus, uses that terminology in reference to the foolish man. They both wanted to build something. Both of them were exposed to the same truth. Both of them lived with the same threats on their lives. But the contrast, the fundamental difference between these two men were their foundations. Could it be that in a group this size this morning, that there are people with different foundations for life? It says the wise man built his house upon the rock. It says the foolish man built his house upon the sand. While both had the same vision, the same goals, the same dream, the same training, the same instruction, the same hearing of the same words, one built upon a rock and one built upon the sand. The underpinning of their dreams, their training, their trials were not the same. What's the difference between building a foundation on rock and building a foundation upon sand? What were the two thinking that made one a fool and one a wise man? If you were to drive by both men's homes, you would not notice maybe that there was a difference. If you were to talk to the men, you may not know that there was a fundamental difference. The only time you would discover there was a difference between these two men and their lives, their homes, their families, their ministries, is when the storm came. Then you would know the difference. And you did know the difference. Because the Bible says when the storm came for the man that was wise, his house stood firm. But when the storm came on the foolish man's house, the Bible says it fell, and the Bible says great was the fall of it. Foundations for a home are important. And that foundation in your home, life's greatest foundation, better be Jesus Christ. You better know Christ as your Savior. Your family members, you ought to be working with your family members in your home to know Christ as Savior. Foundations for a home that ignore God's word, that ignore God's way, that ignore God's salvation, that ignore God's Son, will fall apart when the storm comes. When an earthquake hits your home, when I'm speaking of the home this morning, I'm speaking of your family, your marriage, your children. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. He thought he would build his life his way, according to what he thought would make the home work. His philosophy of life, his plans. Yet when the storm came, his house fell, and great was the fall of it. I believe here the foolish man couldn't imagine how bad it would be when it fell. Folks, homes are falling apart today in storms. And it's revealing that the foundation that they were leaning on, that they were standing on, was faulty. In this series on Sure Foundations for the Home, my goal is to give you foundations by which your home can stand when storms come. The best foundation, the only foundation in the Scripture, is the foundation of Christ. The other man built his house on the rock, the solid foundation of a rock. The house was subject to winds, water, rains, but it stood because it was built on a solid foundation. You must get this truth this morning about your home. Listen carefully. I don't care if you're a father, a mother, a husband, a child, a grown child living in the home. Get this, the foundations of your home will be tested. The foundations of your home, the foundations of my home will be tested, have been tested, maybe are being tested right now. The foundations are being tested. May I tell you this morning, folks, that storms are coming. Earthquakes are coming. Hurricanes are coming, and they're coming to your home and to mine. Forest fires are coming. Sorrows are coming. Sudden changes in your life are coming. Bad health reports are coming. A loss of a job is coming. A loss of a child is coming. A moral failure in your marriage might be around the corner. A troubled child in your home could be your next family crisis. A lawsuit could be the next disaster that you face. An inability to pay your bills and keep your house could be just over the hill. Interpersonal conflicts with family members of your extended family will test your foundations. A backslidden spouse will blow fierce winds at your home. You have to understand something about foundations. You can't pour them when it's raining. You can't wait till the storm and then say, oh, I better get this foundation. No, foundations have to be poured before the storm. You don't pour foundations in the rain. Foundations have to be poured before the storm comes. Whatever foundation you're going to have, you need to get solidified before the storm hits. So when the storm comes, your house isn't destroyed. A foundation of financial security can be destroyed. Gentlemen, I know that's one of our drives in life, to provide for our family, to make things financially secure. We should, by the way. But I want you to know that foundation can be gone. Like that. A foundation of a nice home, of giving your mate what she wants or what he wants. A foundation of physical health and well-being can evaporate like steam out of a kettle. Just that quick it can be gone. A foundation of pleasure and enjoyment will not stand the pressures and the attacks on a home in a storm. Those things amount to nothing when your foundation is tested. There's a foundation which standeth sure. It is the foundation of Jesus Christ. And the truth is, the foundation of your life needs to be Christ. There's the futility of a wrong foundation, but there's the security of a right foundation. Turn to Psalm chapter 127, verse number 1. Our text, I want you to see the word they representing mankind, and I want you to see the subject, the Lord. They is connected with laboring in vain, but the Lord can build the house. Except the Lord keep the city, part of verse number one, second part of verse number one. The watchman waketh, but in vain. What's the Bible saying here? Anything we put our hands to without God is futile. But God can do it. God can build a house so it can last the storms. God can keep a city so that it's not taken. You say, preacher, how is this foundation described in the New Testament? It's described in John 14 and verse number 6. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Your foundation for life, no man can get to the Father any other way but through Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. It's a foundation for life. It's a foundation for when your storms hit, that Christ is the answer. How else is it described, preacher? In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, it's described like this. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is your foundation for security in life and in the life to come is only found in the name of Jesus and His work on Calvary. When storms hit the home where Christ is the foundation, there's some place to turn. There's something that is stable despite the winds and the rains. He's the anchor of our soul according to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 19. And in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, it says, come unto me all ye, the Bible says, that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The security in this life, my friend, is not found in the stock market or in the next president. It is found in the person of Jesus Christ. The psalmist uses the word rock to picture God as his stability and foundation in times of uncertainty, in times of trouble and distress and anxiety and depression. The psalmist was experiencing God-ordained storms, and he called God and he called the Lord his rock. You say, preacher, why does God give me a storm? Because it lets you know what kind of foundation you're on. Let me say that again. Why does God give you a storm? Because storms reveal what you're leaning on for life. It reveals your foundation. Only in a hurricane will you discover whether you're really resting on the truth of God or whether you're merely listening to it. And there's a difference. Both in the parable listened. One built on a rock, one built on sand. In the storm, you'll find out whether those truths are really a part of your life or whether they've been going like this in your life. Storms reveal foundations. Recently, I read of a couple who took a cruise to Alaska. And on their way back, a storm broke out, and this was the worst storm the Royal Caribbean had ever had. The waves hit 50 feet high. Plates were flying, pianos were rolling, people were throwing up. It was a messy situation. People were screaming all over the boat, thinking that the end of their life was right around the corner. One of the ladies on the boat became very upset. She picked up the telephone and said, may I speak to the captain, please? They said, ma'am, the captain is on the bridge. He can't talk to anybody right now in light of the storm. She said, would you please tell him that I'm very upset that he would put us through this when he could have avoided this? He knew it was coming, And I just want to register that I am thoroughly upset about this. They said, I will relay that to the captain. A few minutes later, our phone rang, and it was the assistant to the captain. He said, ma'am, we have just received your message. It was relayed to the captain, and he asked me to call and relay two things to you. First of all, lady, go to sleep, because the captain is going to stay up, and there's no need for both of you staying awake. Second thing is this, the ship was built with this storm in mind. Long before we ever hit the storm, we knew this day was going to come. We knew there was going to be a day when we would face nature at its most vicious level. So way back when we were putting the boat together, we contemplated this moment. And this boat was structured in such a way that on whatever day this storm came, while it would be inconvenient, irritating, aggravating, make us anxious and be traumatic, what you need to know is all of that was considered when it was constructed. So while the storm is bad, the boat is better. I don't know what storms, hurricanes, tornadoes your family will face. I'm not a prophet. I cannot predict the future. You're either just coming out of one, or you're going into one, or you're right in the middle of one. I do know this. The storms will be bad, but the Savior will be better. He's your foundation, which involves the truth of God applied in the realities of your life. Get that. He's your foundation. That means that it's the truth of God that is applied in the realities and storms of your life. That's how we get through a storm. That's how we see Christ as our foundation. The storms are bad, but the Savior is better. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18. The Word of God is not simply a book to have under your arm on your way to church or on your coffee table that sits there all week. It is to have the truth of God as your M.O. in decision-making and in facing the storms of life, your mode of operation. What differentiated these two men? Both heard, but only one did. Only one put life into action. Both of them were filled with all kinds of Bible knowledge. But only one took the truth of God and the realities of life and made it alive and saw God use the foundation of Christ in their lives. Psalm 18, verse 31 says, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? There is no other rock. There is no other foundation. God is our rock, according to the Scriptures. Those of you that are saved this morning, could I impress this truth upon your mind that you have a rock to run to when the waves are tossing your soul about? When in prison, you have a God to cry to. When your spirit is overwhelmed, as the psalmist testifies in Psalm 142, he knows your path. When no one else seems to care, he is your rock. Think on that. He's the stable one. When everything else is moving, changing, there is one stable rock in the midst of it all. It is our God. Turn to Psalm 142. Psalm 142, look at verses 1 through 7. This part of the message is geared towards Christians. Psalm 142, verse number 7. The Bible says, verse number 1, I'll start with verse number 1 and read through verse number 7. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. People don't cry unless there's storms. Storms cause crying. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I have walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. This is a storm. It's a big storm in the psalmist's life. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. What the psalmist was saying was, I'm in a storm and I got a place to turn. I have a rock. And so do you. You have the same rock. The Bible's teaching us here. Sure foundations for your home means that when the trial hits, Daddy, you just get the family around you on the bed or in the living room. You say, we're gonna go to God on this. We have a foundation in life, kids. That foundation in life is Christ. And we're going to run to the rock. We're going to cry out to the rock. We're going to pour our complaint out, our soul, to the rock. And you teach your kids from ground level up that when storms hit, they may shake up things, but they're not going to destroy your home. You're going to rally together around the rock. And that rock is Christ. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You say, preacher, I understand what you are saying this morning. I see from Scripture how do I, though, make Christ the foundation of my life and my home? You begin by personally making Him Lord and Savior. You may be a young person here who is living with parents who are without Christ. You say, preacher, Jesus isn't our home's foundation. Listen, you can make Him your foundation. You can bring Christ into your home by receiving Christ as your Savior. You may be someone who lives for pleasure, for money, for the weekends, for parties, for travel, for hobbies, for houses. But none of them are solid foundations. There is a solid foundation. His name is Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, how do I make Him my foundation? I want to close by giving you how you can make Him your foundation. You must see that sin is your greatest problem. If you are going to make Jesus Christ the foundation for your life, you must realize, first of all, that sin is your greatest problem. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6, it says this, "For all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Sir, ma'am, young person, may I speak to you this morning and be truthful. You, like me, have turned from God through sin. We have turned our own way, the Bible says. We have turned away from God's laws and principles and commands, and we have turned our own way. That is your biggest problem. It's my biggest problem, is my sin before God. And if Christ is going to be your foundation, you must come to the realization that sin is my greatest problem. In fact, that sin has separated you. In Isaiah 59 verse 2, the Bible says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." That's why sin is such a big problem, because it separates you from God.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream. weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.